Hey, this is Dan Janelle, your writing coach, your ghostwriter, your PR leader. I am happy to be with you today and helping you to overcome writer's blockbusters. I'm really happy to present this because this is one of the biggest questions I get anytime anyone talks to me about writing a book or coaching or anything about how to promote their business. They say, I want to write a book, but I have all these writer's blocks. So I am going to show you many, many ways to overcome these myths that you were led to believe about writer's block. And by the end of this session, I'm going to share with you a number of ways on how you can become more successful, make more money, and be happier by writing the book of your dreams. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, and then I'm going to share with you 9 myths that you were led to believe about why you can't write your book or about writer's block. And I'm going to show you 3 easy ways to get started toward writing your next book. So I want to tell you a little bit about me. Some of you have been following me for 16 years, some of you for about 16 minutes, and I'm delighted that you're on this call. I started out as a newspaper reporter, and I learned a very, very valuable lesson as a newspaper reporter. We actually were understaffed and overworked, and I got into the habit of writing 3 stories a day, every day, for 4 years straight. Okay, I was off 2 days a week. But if you're going to start to write 3 stories from scratch every day, you have to learn how to be disciplined. And I learned how to be disciplined. And I learned that the best way to write those stories was to create an outline. And I used that formula for all of the work since then. And I'm going to share that with you in this seminar today. That is the fastest way to write your book, your blogs, your articles, anything, is to start with an outline. And that forms a template for writing your book or your blogs or anything else that you write. It was very important for me because that having that ability led me to write more than 13 books. That's right, 13 books. I wrote the first book about marketing on the internet back in 1993. That's when Al Gore and I were like the only people on the internet, and people didn't even think you could market online. Hard to believe, those were the stone ages of the internet. It was the wild, wild west. Well, I wrote a book, and that book led me to speaking engagements literally around the world, from Beijing to Budapest. It led to speaking engagements and teaching assignments at Berkeley and at Stanford. It also led to additional book contracts and such like that, that really launched my career. So as we go to the very first myth, myth number 9, a book won't help me grow my business. You know, I just showed you that having a book was the best thing to help me grow my business because it meant I could speak literally around the world. I didn't mention that I spoke throughout Canada, Mexico, even Rio de Janeiro. Can you imagine going to Rio de Janeiro on someone else's expense and fly business class there and get paid to speak? That all happened because of my book. And of course, one thing leads to another. And here I am all these many years later, a book definitely helped me grow my business. Now, I have found in my book coaching life that a lot of people like the idea of writing a book, and then they go to another website and they see some other bright, shiny object, and all of a sudden, they're off and investing in some other program. Well, let me tell you, there is no better investment and no better bright, shiny object than a book, because a book is the best way to grow your business. It provides you with credibility, authority, and fame. It makes you an object of instant attraction. And I'll tell you, no one ever throws out a book. They may not read your book from cover to cover. They may not be able to quote you your book from cover to cover. But the fact that you give someone a book at a networking event immediately raises you from just being another face in the crowd to being someone who is an authority. And I don't care if they read the front cover and the back cover and never read the pages inside, you've made an impression. Here's myth number 8. I don't have time to write a book. Well, I tell you, you know, when we set up this seminar, we ask people for their one burning question. And I want to read a few of them now because I'm going to dispel a number of these myths throughout the the seminar here, but the number one is always like, I don't have time to write a book. How can I write the book? How can I write the book within a reasonable amount of time? That's from Lawrence. What is the best way to corral all your ideas so it becomes a book? That's from Cappy. How do you stay with it? We're going to answer that one. That's Paul's question. And how do you organize your ideas? And how do you set aside time in your busy lives to write the book? That's from Bob. And these are all great questions. And I just want to acknowledge all of those people who ask questions now, because your questions are going to be answered in the next few minutes. So let's dispel this myth of I don't have time to write a book. Well, you look at a book and it looks like really daunting. I hear you. You know, that's very, it's a thing that people would obviously say. You know, you look at a book and that's a big elephant. And, you know, the only way to eat an elephant, as those motivational speakers say, is one bite at a time. And if you think about it, a book has 10 chapters and that chunks it down. And if you keep on chunking it down and chunking it down and chunking it down, it becomes a lot easier to write the book. So I'll go into more detail about that later. But if you look at the book as a series of blog posts or tweets or thoughts or ideas, then it becomes a lot easier to write. If you think that a book has 25,000 words, and there are 10 chapters, then suddenly there are only 2,500 words per chapter. That's two or three blog posts, three or four blog posts, you know, suddenly it becomes a lot easier. So that reframes the whole idea of the time to write the book. And other questions or other objections I get to this myth are that, you know, people say, well, I don't have time. And I ask them, do you watch television? And they said, sure. I said, how much time do you watch television at night? And they say about an hour or two. And I said, well, what if you spent 15 minutes writing a book instead of 2 hours watching television? You know, watch television for an hour and a half and spend 15 minutes writing your book, and, you know, you'll have time to write the book. And I say, do you have time to go on social media for 30 minutes? And I say, sure, I spend a lot of time on social media. Well, what happens if you don't go on social media for 30 minutes, but you spend 15 minutes writing a book? I tell you, you will have time to write your book. I wrote my book in 15-minute blocks every day for about 90 days. It's about 1,000 words a day. And I took a couple of days off because, you know, you have weekends or whatever. You just don't feel inspired sometimes. But by and large, if you're writing a 25,000-word book, if you write 1,000 words a day, that's 25 days. You can do it. And if you write 500 words a day, okay, then it's 60 days. These are all doable things. So this makes the book easy to do. Now let's get around those idea about times, but turn into like, gee, I don't have enough content to write a book. I don't have time to do the research to do the book. Well, I ask you this. Do you write blogs? If you write blogs, you can turn them into a book. One of my clients, Chris Putnam Walkerly, took her blogs. I'll put them into a book about how to raise money for philanthropy organizations and nonprofits. She's won awards for her book, and it was all a series of her blog posts. She might have rewritten a few here and there, and other clients of mine have done the same things with their blogs. You can turn your blogs into a book. How about your tweets and your memes? You can turn those into books too. I'm sure you've seen books where there just are quotations. Lots of speakers sell books with just their quotations or other people's quotations, like Churchill or Bob Dylan or other people. Well, you can take your quotations and your tweets and your memes and put them into a book too. So you don't have to write 25,000 words. You could have 100 memes that you've created over the last quarter or two quarters and put those into a book, and now you have a book. Do you speak? Then you have speeches. Transcribe those speeches, and bingo, you have a book. So here's a great myth buster about I don't have time to write a book. You don't have to create new content from scratch, although you certainly can if you want to, but you can reuse your material. And if that's the case, you definitely have time to write a book. Here's myth number 7. I don't write well. Well, maybe you're right. I'm not going to argue with you. You have your own ideas of your own self-worth about writing, and everyone, you know, I'm not a great artist. Everyone will agree with that. I am a pretty good writer, but I'm no Hemingway, but I've written 13 books and they've sold well. So you don't have to write like Hemingway or F. Scott Fitzgerald or Stephen King or those true bestsellers. You have to write well enough. But I have to tell you something. You don't even have to write that well, because you can get software to correct your grammar and your spelling. So all if you can just put down your ideas onto paper, by paper, I mean the computer, of course, you can get software to help you. It lets you check your spelling. It checks your grammar. It might even have a thesaurus. But there are a lot of free tools online and low-cost tools online that will do 25 different reports on your writing. For instance, they'll tell you if you use one word too often. I wrote a book with a doctor, and I used the word well and just hundreds of times. I didn't see it. The software did. I went through the manuscript. It color-coded all those words that weren't needed, and I tossed out the ones that I felt were truly not needed, and I kept the ones that might have been useful for emphasis. So there is software that can definitely help you spot the obvious errors and problems. You can also hire a ghostwriter or an editor to clean up your work. And that's what they do. They love doing this. You know, editors may not have any creativity. They may be sticklers for making sure that all the typos are gone and all the grammar is correct. That's great. Use them for what they are good at, and you use your talents for what you are good at. So you can write a book even if you don't write well, because there are people and tools who can help you. Myth number 6, I'm a speaker, not a writer. Well, that's great. I think that's a wonderful thing. I'm a speaker too, and you know what? You can dictate your book. And not only that, you can get free transcription services. There are a number of places online where you just upload your audio file, and they'll give you 60 minutes of transcription for free each month. And for maybe a few dollars per hour, you can pay for additional services. That's really, really cheap. So if your modality is speaking and not writing, you can easily get a book done very, very quickly. And again, if you need to hire an editor to clean it up and polish it up, that's fine. If you need to hire a developmental editor to give it more context or to put in the right order, you can do that too. And frankly, that's something I do with a number of my clients as well. So if you speak your speeches or if you dictate your book, you can definitely have a book. Myth number 5 is probably the most controversial myth. The book has to be perfect. Well, let me tell you a story. When I was in college, I read Moby Dick. I think everyone's read Moby Dick or tried to read Moby Dick. And I found a typo in it. You know, there are 800 pages. I found a typo. So I wrote a letter to the editor at HarperCollins. I said, there's a typo on page 342. Here it is. And I expected her to write back and say, oh, thank you very much. We really appreciate this. You made our book better. You're wonderful. And by the way, how would you like to have an internship? And we'll hire you because we see you're a journalism student at Northwestern. Do you think that happened? No. What happened was crickets. Nothing happened. She didn't contact me, didn't acknowledge my letter, and probably didn't even clean up the typo. So here's the big myth. It's nice to have it be perfect. It's nice to have no typos, but that's almost an impossibility. You can pick up any book and find a typo somewhere. Don't sweat it. In fact, most people won't even spot those typos anyway. So I'm sure if you've written a book, you've probably said to yourself, you know, I proofread it. I read it online. I printed it out. I copy edited it. I found more typos. I turned on the audio program and had it read to me, and I found more typos. Then I showed it to a professional copy editor, and she found more typos, and I cleaned those up, and I sent the book to another professional copy editor, and she found more typos that the first copy editor didn't find. And these are highly respected copy editors who were referred to me, and still we found typos. So it's like, so don't sweat it. If people write letters to you and say, oh, there was a typo in it, it wasn't very professional, well, let them write a book and see how good it gets. Your true fans are going to appreciate the thoughts in your book, and they will gladly overlook the typos in your book. The people who aren't going to pay you a penny are the ones who are going to find the typos and bitch and moan and complain and they won't ever be your clients anyway. So yes, someone once said that perfection is the enemy of good. As someone else said, done is better than perfect. And I think that's really, really the key here. Myth number four, it costs a lot of money to write and produce a book. Well, that used to be the case. Used to be you went to a traditional publisher and it didn't cost you anything. In fact, they gave you advances on your book. Well, those days are pretty much gone. That ship has sailed. Traditional publishers will rarely give an advance to someone like you or me. They want someone who has a huge, huge following. We're talking more than 100,000 people in your mailing list. We're talking about people who have established track records of selling lots and lots of books and basically doing their own marketing. Those people still get advances. But for most of us, that ship has sailed. But that doesn't mean that publishing costs a lot of money. Let's take a look back to the olden days. There used to be something called vanity publishers. These were really ripoff artists. These were people who would take your money, take your book, typeset it, and give you books, and these were just garbage. It was, you know, they didn't copy it at all. They really looked unprofessional, and you'd really be embarrassed to put your name on those kinds of books. Well, the world has changed. Now, you can publish a book on Kindle, and it costs literally next to nothing. You know, true, you need to write the book, and that's your time cost, or you're paying a ghostwriter to write the book. Then you want to have a copy edited and proofread. So yes, that costs money too. Then you need to have it laid out. And laying out, I'm finding out layout artists are really, really cheap. If you're spending more than $250 or even $500 to lay out your book, you're paying way too much. There are many people I've spoken to just recently who are having their books laid out for maybe $250 or even less. And how they can do it that cheaply, I don't know, but they're happy, so it's a win-win for everyone. So publishing a book can be very, very inexpensive. In fact, back in the old days, you could get the cost of a book down by buying thousands and thousands of copies, then store them in your garage forever and hoping you could sell them. Well, today we have something called print on demand. And that means when you load your book onto Kindle, Kindle doesn't sell you 3,000 books. Kindle waits for an order to come in, and then it prints the book on demand and then sends the book to you or to the person who bought the book. So if you're doing a seminar like this and someone goes to Amazon and buys your book, that's great. It's created on the spot. It's fresh. What's the word they use in cooking these days that made just for you? I forget, there's a fancy highfalutin term. Well, it's made just for you. Now, if you as a speaker or an author want to have 50 or 100 books that you can take to your next speaking engagement or your next consulting engagement or whatever, you can do that too. So you go to Kindle and you say, send me 100 books, and they'll probably charge you about $2, $2.25 a piece. They'll charge you shipping. Here's a little tip that I learned. Have the books shipped to your hotel. That way you're not paying to bring them on the plane with you and pay the plane to carry your books. So that'll save you some money too. And also there are a number of publishers or printers rather, not publishers, let me correct myself, printers who are actually honest and will print literally hundreds or thousands of copies of your book. One of my clients had a book printed, hardcover book with a slip cover, with embossed printing, and I think he ordered either 1,000 or 3,000 copies for less than $2 a piece. And at that price, it sure makes a lot of sense to get a lot of books done at that lower price. So again, you can get a book printed for literally nothing on demand with Kindle, or just literally a couple of hundred or a couple of $1,000 with a traditional publisher, if that's the way you want to go. But it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Here's the third myth. You need to be famous to write a book. No. You go to Amazon. If you go to Amazon, you won't recognize 99% of the names on their bestseller lists. These are people just like you and me, and I write books all the time, and I make money from them. In fact, I looked at a bestseller list once for mystery writing because I like mystery novels, and they had the name of a woman who I had never heard of, and she was number one on the mystery list. And she was not number one on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list or the New York Times bestseller list, but on Amazon, she was number one. And I have this program called Kindle Spy that will actually tell me how many books are sold, and I use that tool, And it was thousands, literally thousands and thousands of copies were being sold at $2 or $3 or $4 a piece. She was making like $50,000 a month from that book. And then I looked at her back list of books, and all of those books were selling hundreds or thousands of copies a month. And she was making literally tens of thousands of dollars a month on all those other books that she had sold. And I had never heard of her. She was not a name that you'd be familiar with either, but somehow on Amazon and through internet marketing and through her email lists, she built a hell of a following, was making a lot of money. And I tune this to a myth that people have. It's called the imposter syndrome. A lot of people think that there's someone better out there, someone smarter out there, someone better looking out there. And you know what? They are. there always will be. Alan Weiss says someone will always have a bigger boat. And it's true. No matter how big your boat is, there's some sheik somewhere has a boat that's 10 times bigger than yours, and you're never going to have a boat bigger than his, but you can still have a boat. And I think the same is true for books. If you have something to say, you can write a book or have help writing the book. So that's what you need to do. And just bear with it and overcome this imposter syndrome. In fact, the books I've read about the imposter syndrome, the funny thing is, the people who are the most successful have the biggest cases of imposter syndrome. And they're constantly going out to prove themselves higher and higher, whether it be in sports or whether it be in business. You know, even CEOs and CFOs of companies are always looking for that next big thing because they think they're imposters, and they need to prove to themselves and the world that they can actually get it done. It's a very interesting phenomenon. So if that sounds like you, start reading some articles or books about the imposter syndrome and get over it, because you do not need to be famous to write a book. Here's myth number two. I don't have anything new to say. Well, that may be true. I'm not going to argue with you. Someone said there are no new ideas under the sun, and someone in the 1800s said, I'm going to close the patent office because everything that needs to be invented has already been invented, and we both know those are complete follies. There's always something new to say or your particular spin on it. So let's say you're writing a book about sales. God knows there are millions of books written about sales. But if you happen to be in the HVAC industry, maybe there's no book that's ever been written on how to sell for HVAC suppliers. I mean, there are guys like Joe Polish who have created entire fortunes by dominating an industry and teaching people like carpet cleaners how to market. So if you have a book on how to sell for carpet cleaners, or how to sell for beekeepers, or how to sell for money, how to make money in honey. There are people who sell honey, you know, bee makers, honey. Then there could be a market for your book, because you have a perspective that no one else has, because you're coming from a certain industry of a certain size, of a certain geographic area, or a certain demographic group, or a certain ethnic group, or a certain anything group that gives you a certain perspective that other people don't have. So you do have something to say. Here's myth number one. It takes a long time to write a book. Well, I want to dispel that myth too. This is November when we're recording this. I don't know when you're listening to this, but we're recording this in November. November happens to be something called NaNoWriMo, and it's called the National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. And hundreds of thousands of people from around the world are writing their books right now. As you and I are sitting here, they are writing. And their goal is to write 50,000 word novels this month, a complete book in 30 days. Hundreds of thousands of people from around the world. We're talking about France and Germany and South Africa and Australia and New Zealand and Colombia and Argentina, different languages, just people of a passion to write a book. And these people are committed to saying, I will do whatever it takes to write my novel that I've been wanting to write all of my life. And I've seen your questions that have come through on the Ask Me Anything form. I have all these ideas. I want to get them down. Well, you can do it. These people around the world are proving that they can write their novel, their 50,000 word novel in 1 month. And this isn't the first year they've done it, the NaNoWriMo. You can go to NaNoWriMo.com or .org or whatever and learn more about it. But the point is, every year people are saying, I'm going to finally write that novel or write that book and get it done. So you, if they can do it, you can too. So I promised you 9 myths, and hopefully we busted all of those. Now I also promised you 3 fast start tips. Here's the first one. If you want to write the book, it's all about having the right recipe or the formula. I mentioned before when I was a reporter that I wrote 3 stories a day, every day for 4 straight years because I had a formula. I would get car accidents reports. I get obituary reports. And you know what? I created templates. I created outlines. I created fill-in-the-blank forms that I could just fill it in. So whether it be a car accident, a traffic fatality, an obituary, or even a school board meeting or sheriff's reports, I knew exactly what went where because I had the right recipe or the formula. You know, a lot of public speakers say that if you give people the right formula, you know, you can bake a cake. You don't have to know anything about baking a cake, but if you follow the recipe, if you take the 2 eggs and you warm up the oven to a certain degree and you put in this much flour and this much butter and this much chocolate and this much this and this much that, you will have a cake, even if you don't know the first thing about baking. Well, the same thing is true about writing a book. In my book, Write Your Book in a Flash, I have the formula that's worked for me. It's an outline. It's a very simple process once you think about it, but all processes really are simple. If you don't have a process, then life is hard. If you have a process, life becomes very, very simple. So my process for writing a nonfiction book is really simple. It starts by saying, I'm going to have 25,000 words. Why 25,000? Because it turns out about 150 or 176 pages. That's a size that says that you have a credible book without making it look like you have a book that is so thick that no one will ever pick it up. Believe me, if a book is 800 pages long, no one will ever read it. They will be intimidated in today's world. They want a book that is lightweight, something they can pick up when they get on a plane in New York and finish it by the time they land in Los Angeles. That's where the 25,000 words come in. Now, let's make it even simpler. If you have 10 chapters in your book, that's 2,500 words per chapter. You can write 2,500 words. Now, each chapter is not just one long blog post, although it could be, but you can have 5 or 6 different tidbits in that chapter. So now we're talking about 400 or 500 words per section in that chapter. So you might start with a case study, and that's 500 words. Then you might say, because of this case study, here are some principles you should follow. Here are 500, and that's in 500 words. Then you might show some statistics that back up your points, and that's another 250 or 500 words. And then you have some examples or some questions for people, you know, quizzes or worksheets or learning materials that people can do to make it their own. And then you have your chapter done. Does that seem so hard? Not really. Now, if you do that 10 more times, you have your book done. And I can go into more detail with that. You could read more detail about that when you read Write Your Book in a Flash. And if you go to Amazon now, if you're part of Kindle Unlimited, you can actually read it for free. I think the ebook version is all $2.99. And if you don't have $2.99 to invest in yourself, then you really shouldn't even be listening to this seminar because you're never going to write a book. Don't fool yourself. If you want the hardcover book, it's a paperback, not hardcover. It's $19.95. And I've had some people say that they bought the ebook and then they wanted to get the hard copy as well. And one of my clients actually bought 5 copies of the hardcover, the paperback book, and gave them to friends. So that's a pretty good testimonial. And there are other testimonials on the website too, on Amazon, if you want to read the book. So that's the fast way to get started. Read the book, have a formula. Fast tip start number 2, work with someone who knows what they are doing. You know, I interviewed Ken Blanchard for my book. You know, Ken Blanchard is the author of Who Moved My Cheese, which sold about 100 million copies. And he's the author of The 1-Minute Manager, which sold about 50 million copies. And he's written 67 other books, and each book was written with a co-author. And I asked him, why are you writing with a co-author? You're a smart guy. Why don't you write by yourself and keep all the money? And he said, I always learn something when I work with someone else. And I thought that was really humbling and inspiring at the same time, that someone of his stature still felt that he could learn, that he didn't know it all, that there was something new that he could get, and also that that person would add value to what they were doing. So you can find a ghostwriter to help you write your book. You can find a book coach like me who can help inspire you to get your book done. Or you can work with a developmental editor like me who can help you get the work done. And by the way, you can work with me or not work with me. This is really a commercial because sometimes, you know, the price range might not be a good fit for you, or maybe the content may not be a good fit for me, or whatever. So, you know, I'm just promoting the concept of working with the developmental editor. It could be me, it could be someone else, but you definitely need to write the book with someone else. Writing a book in isolation will make your book okay. Writing a book with someone else will make your book a better, better book. Fast tip, start number three, hire a ghostwriter. You know, I've gone through 9 myths and 2 other fast start tips to help dispel a lot of your myths, but some of you, frankly, are never going to write the book for 2 reasons. Number one, you're too damn busy. That's right. You're so successful, it's not worth your time to actually sit down and take the 10 or 20 or 40 or 60 hours it takes to write a book. You can make a lot more money speaking or selling real estate or doing whatever you do to make the really, really big books. In that case, hiring a ghostwriter is a very effective use of your time. And frankly, the biggest myth or the biggest hidden secret in the National Speakers Association is that a lot of speakers hire ghostwriters to write their books. They don't write the book themselves. That's right. They hire ghostwriters. The ghostwriters' names are never on the book, and the speaker gets all the credit. So you may want to hire a ghostwriter for that reason. So let's wrap up. I told you that I would tell you a little bit about myself, and I did. And I told you that I would dispel 9 myths that might be stopping you from writing your book, and we went through those 9 myths. I hope that was helpful. And I also promised you 3 fast start tips to help you write the book of your dreams really, really fast. So I hope you think I delivered on my promise and that you've gotten a lot out of this seminar. So you're probably wondering how I can help you. And I would like to invite you to join my coaching program. Now, you're probably wondering, so what's it like to have me as your coach? Well, you can bounce ideas off me, and I'll give you an honest appraisal. So if I think the idea is good, I'll let you know. If you think the idea isn't so great, I'll let you know that too. And if I don't know the answer, well, I'll be honest with you and let you know that too. Now, you can ask me anything you like about writing, editing, publishing, and promotions or marketing. And that's one of the big questions I always get. How can I market my book effectively? I'll be happy to answer your questions and give you a few ideas as well. Now, you can also be assured that anything we talk about is strictly confidential. Our conversations are private, and I won't share your ideas with anyone else. And I know a lot of people are really scared or concerned about someone ripping off their ideas. Well, you don't have to worry about that. I will keep your information confidential. So you're probably wondering, what are the exact mechanics of this? How does it all work? Well, there's a lot of work, and I'm going to be with you all the way. We're going to meet for 4 months, and we'll meet once a week during those 4 months for 30 minutes a stretch. Now, if you don't need all 30 minutes, that's okay. If you only have a question or two, that's fine. I don't want to abuse your time. On the other hand, I really don't look at the clock. I'll be honest with you. So if we take 35 minutes or 45 minutes, that's okay too. I'm here for you. So as long as I don't have another appointment scheduled up right after yours, I'm happy to talk to you until you run out of questions. So you can ask me anything you like during those calls. And also, some people, frankly, just need an accountability partner. And that's okay too. Because I know that if we have a meeting at 10 o'clock Monday morning, you might not do anything until Sunday afternoon when you say, oh gosh, I have a meeting with Dan tomorrow. I better start doing what I promised to do. So if that's what it takes to get you motivated, well, I've been there myself, friend. So that's perfectly okay. So like many people, when you do an offer like this, I have a couple of bonuses to entice you and make the deal even better. So bonus number one, I'll send you a PDF of my book right away. That's the Write Your Book in a Flash book. That's a $19.99 value right off the bat. Second bonus, I will actually write your executive summary for you with based on your input. That's a $995 value. Why do you need this? Well, the executive summary is what you would use on the back cover copy of your book to get people to buy your book and also to get people to know, like, and trust you if they're just looking at the book cover. Second, that's the information you're going to use on the Amazon book page. So when people go to look to buy your book or check you out, that's the information they're going to see, and it's going to position you well. You can also use it on your website. So that's a $1,000 bonus, $995. The third bonus, I'll give you access to my other webinars and about writing and editing. And that's $197 value. There are about 5 or 6 recordings there already. This recording will be added as well, so you'll be able to get access to all of those. So there's several $1,000s worth of bonuses right there. And the value of the bonuses far exceed the price of the coaching program. Now think what that means. You can make your money back with just one client. Imagine you've written your book and you go to a networking meeting. You give the book to a prospect and they hire you at a $1,000 project or a $2,500 speech or a $5,000 coaching program. You just made your money back right then and there. Then think of all the repeat business you're going to get from that client. So your potential earnings far exceed your investment in my coaching program. So I hope you'll agree that after working with me, after coaching with me, you'll know the right way to write your book fast, and you'll see how little adjustments can make a big difference in your career. You'll also learn how to save time, money, and energy when you write your book. And your book will magically, magnetically attract prospects to your business because of your book. And also, I'll share with you the number one mistake that most everyone makes. So to take action right now, click on this link. I can only take 4 people because my schedule is pretty jammed, but I want to help you guys. But I can take 4 people now. You can start anytime you like within the next year, but you must take action now. And the link to do that is www.janal.com/bookcoachnow. Once again, www.janal.com/bookcoachnow. Thank you very much. I hope you've gotten a lot out of this webinar, and I look forward to coaching 4 of you in the very near future. Thank you very much.